Bible is for Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. I was told I talk fast. I'm going to try to slow down. No promises. I'm 47 now, so it's been a lot of years of me talking this way. I'm sorry. But yeah, we'll try. So this has become like a life verse to me in many ways. It's funny. I remember being 17, and I had my room graffitied, you know, because I thought I was kind of cool, and it wasn't really cool, but I graffitied my room. And in it, my graffiti artist friend, who had, you know, tagged up several blocks on our city, he's like, "You want me to put a Bible verse up?" I'm like, yeah, why would we not? He's like, that's not normally what I do, but okay. I'm like, let's go. And so this verse has meant the world to me because it's been one of those, like, childhood verses. I was born on Saturday in church on Sunday, been in church my whole life, but it's been one of those things where it is really difficult to put your trust in the Lord. It's the most beautiful thing, the most rewarding thing, but it is not easy for man, for us to do that. And so Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 simply says this: trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. And so it's a simple little verse, but I promise you, as you try to live that out, there will be many times where it says, do not lean on your own understanding, that will hit you in the face. And the older I get, the stupider I realize I am. And, you know, it is just like, man, it's so easy for you to begin to trust in yourself. And the Bible is very clear, do not trust in yourself, trust only in the Lord. So, speaking of that, I'm going to try to make my iPad work. Oh, okay. Whew. You guys have no idea the fear that comes up here at times. You're using modern technology for me, because I'm old. I was getting my hair cut, and they called me OG several times, and my son just thought that was the most brilliant, hilarious thing. And we went to a Kings game, and they said, excuse me, OG, and he's like, Dad, that's twice in, like, 2 days. And I'm like, what in the world? He's like, dude, they see you as the old man. So, yes, at 47, I am the old man to some. When the brilliant ethicist John Kavanaugh went to work 3 months at the house of the dying Calcutta, he was seeking a clear answer to how best he would spend the rest of his life. On the first morning there, he met Mother Teresa. She asked, what can I do for you? Kavanaugh asked her to pray for him. What do you want me to pray for? She asked. He voiced the request that he had borne thousands of miles from the United States. Pray that I have clarity. She said firmly, no, I will not do that. When he asked her why, she said, clarity is the last thing you're clinging to and must let go of. When Kavanaugh commented that she always seemed to have clarity he longed for, she laughed and said, I've never had clarity. What I have always had is trust, so I will pray that you will trust God. We ourselves We ourselves have known and put our trust in God's love towards us, 1 John 4:16. Craving clarity, we attempt to eliminate the risk of trusting God. Fear of the unknown path stretching ahead of us destroy childlike trust in the Father's active goodness and unrestricted love. That's from Ruthless Trust by Brennan Manning. Embrace the great adventure of a life of trusting. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Walk by faith and not by sight. It would be real cool if God would set up a personal spiritual GPS for us, you know? And each of us would have that, and the believers, we would know. We wouldn't, you know, kind of have a handicap of our faith. We would know where we should go, where we should turn, what exactly we should do. But God simply says, trust in him. Life is at its best only experienced when you trust God beyond what you can understand. I'll read that again. Life is at its best only experienced when you trust God beyond what you can understand. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalms 34:8. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. This message is for anybody who is hurting, the one who is going through some form of adversity and feels like giving up, the person who has that child that is driving you crazy, the spouse who's wondering, you know, why did I marry this person? As a life filled with unfulfilled dreams, a loss of a job and loneliness, the person concerned with terrorism, natural disasters, racial injustice, and pain on a massive scale around the world, but also for the person who experienced a life that is filled with just a little frustration, a little anxiety, a little disappointment that tempt us to worry and get angry. Trust, to rely on, believe, to hope, in confidence, trusting in the dying commodity in this day and age. With all the divorce, political and church scandals, government corruption, credit card fraud, economic turmoil, and racial injustice, it's hard to trust. It's hard to put your faith in something. The motto of the day is don't trust nobody. But the word of God calls us to trust. It's not God's will for you to live in fear, anxiety, worry, or suspicion. You've got to trust because you cannot make this journey alone. You must be, what must one believe in order for one to place their confidence in God? Jerry Bridges, one of my favorite authors, says, you must believe three things if you're going to trust in God in the midst of the pain, struggle, and difficulty of life. You must believe three things if you're going to trust God in the midst of pain, struggle, and difficulty of life. Number one, God is completely sovereign. Sovereign meaning this. The definition of sovereignty is that God can do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants to accomplish whatever he wants in your life. He's totally in control. He's sovereign. Number two, God is infinite in wisdom. Number three, God is perfect in love. One, God is completely sovereign. Two, God is infinite in wisdom. Three, God is perfect in love. What does that mean? Lamentations 3:37-38. Who has spoken and it came to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? It is not from the mouth of the Most High that good and bad come. Lamentations 3:37-13. That's tough to swallow, I know, but it's true. God is totally in control over the heinous events even that you can think of, like the cross. They came up to him saying, Hail, King of the Jews, and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, See, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, Behold the man. When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to him, Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. Then Jesus answered him, the Jews answered him, We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God. When Pilate heard the statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, Where are you from? But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, Will you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you or authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, You would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. John 19, verse 3-11. I know we overlook the suffering and pain of Jesus because of the great benefit to us, but Jesus did pray, My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Isaiah 38:17, God exercises his control over our lives in such a way as his infinite love deems best for us. We must learn to trust when we don't understand. Romans 11:33 says, God's infinite wisdom is so far beyond our own ability. To trust God means to rely on God's truthfulness, integrity, and in the character of his divine promises. Proverbs 3, verses 1, 3, and 5 are the commands. Verse 1, these are the teachings and the commands, instructions from God. Verse 3, in light of those truths, be loyal and faithful to them, a throwback to God's covenantal relationship he has with his people. Exodus 34:6. The Bible doesn't say trust anybody. It says trust in the Lord. Put your faith, your trust in the Lord. The object of your trust is in the Lord, the only one you can trust. You may not be able to trust your wife, your husband, your spouse, your knuckleheaded kids, the police, the government, the church, the preacher, but you can trust in the Lord. Trust him completely with everything. With all your heart, the text says, with your inner being, with all that you are, without any reservation, with full confidence. I know all of you are here. You're believers because when you came, you plopped yourself down. I watched most of you. I made a point to look to see when you're sitting down. Even you, brother, when you came, you just plopped yourself next to your wife. I thought, he doesn't even know that chair would hold him up, you know? He just sat down. The chair was sitting in, right there, and you walked in, and you just strolled over to your sections. You sit time and time again, and you just plopped yourself down. You trusted, believed in the fact that it would hold your weight up. You didn't come alongside the chair, check the legs, turn upside down, inspect the seat. You just put your confidence in the fact that the people who set up the chairs weren't going to try and pull some practical joke and felt that it held you up time and time again, so you plopped yourself down. When life smacks us in the face, what will you trust in? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. If you need a witness, Abraham, Genesis 23, 1 through 12. This is an old man who's believed in God, those promises. He's got this new land, and God says, I'm going to give you a son. He's old, and his wife is old, and he's like, we haven't had a kid yet. I don't think this is going to happen. And he finally gets the kid, and God says, sacrifice the son. And he holds the knife up. In Exodus 14, Moses and the people of Israel before the Red Sea, God says, I'll part the sea so its walls of water to your right and to the left, just walk on through. Now you're thinking, oh, that's just simple. The Red Sea, and you go before it, and it just parts open, and you see kind of the little wet sand, and you just start walking, like, oh yeah, go ahead, Israelites, that's just normal. That's not normal. If that was me, I would be like, oh, you see a fish up there, and all these little, like, what in the world is going on? And God says, I got you, trust me, go. One of my favorite Negro spirituals, Oh Mary, Don't You Weep, the chorus proclaiming Pharaoh's army got drowned in the Red Sea. So here the Israelites are going through the Red Sea, and the enemies of God come behind them, and he says, now we're going to close it up. A picture of hope and deliverance, that as you trust in the Lord, you may not understand the circumstances he has placed you in, but he has your back. He has not forgotten you. He has not left you alone. He's actually made beautiful promises towards you, like Romans 8, 28. He works all things out for good for those that love him and called according to his purpose. The airplane, you give complete control when you scan that ticket and walk down the aisle. You're either in the plane or you aren't. With so many people's fear and anxiety over flying, I haven't seen one yet put one leg in the plane and one leg out. You're either in it or you're out. It's that simple. You can't trust in yourself and in God. There's a natural tendency because of our original grandparents, Adam and Eve, to want to trust in ourselves, to lean on our own reasoning and understanding. This goes back to Genesis 3 and the fall of man. Eve saw that the fruit was good to eat and to make one wise, make one like God. Sad thing is, for Adam and Eve, they were already made in the image of God. Lean not on your own understanding. We are flawed individuals. We are not God. We do not have all the answers. We cannot save ourselves. But everything in our culture is to get you to a point where you trust in your own wisdom and your limited understanding. We see how ludicrous and absolutely absurd it is with kids and teenagers. They think they know everything. Life is geared to be about you, to get us away from submitting to a holy and perfect and just and sovereign God. When you lean on your own understanding, it's idol worship. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make an image. When we fail to trust God, we trust in everything else but him. So the spouse, the government, the child, the education, whatever it may be, we create an image that we begin to worship. God doesn't want his people to stop thinking and start trusting. God wants us to change the way we think. Psalm 26, 2. Test me, Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. Isaiah 118. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red like crimson, they shall become like wool. Matthew 22:37. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, by your mind. Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and perfect and acceptable. Philippians 2:5, have this mind among yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus. God wants your mind. The enemy wants your mind. I'm amazed how many times we flip on the TV, how it's a battle for our minds that's engaging. So we have these conversations sometimes as a family, like, whoa, what are they trying to tell us here? Oftentimes it's don't trust in the Lord, trust in yourself. Don't allow your finite mind with its limited perspective, blurry vision, cause you to doubt God. Don't let what you think you know cause you to mistrust God. The Africa Impala, a beautiful animal from the antelope family, this thing can jump some 10 feet high and some 30 feet in distance, but the zoos that get one of these beautiful, impressive animals keep them in enclosures that are just several feet high. Why? Because the African Impala will never jump where it cannot see its feet land. Well, that's not true for you and I. You may not know what's going to happen, he says, but trust me. Don't be bound and defeated, caged, because you refuse to trust in God, because you can't understand. The Lord is above you, and his thoughts are not your thoughts. The text says, don't lean on your own understanding. 2 Samuel 1:6. This is the story of Saul, the king of Israel, and his son Jonathan, who's dead, and the report told to David by the servant, who says he saw Saul leaning over his sword. The Hebrew text there, literally, he impaled himself with his own sword. He committed suicide in that way. When you lean on your own understanding, it's spiritual suicide for you to let what you think you know cause you to mistrust God. J.I. Packer, in his book, Hot Tub Religion, ought we to be surprised when we find ourselves baffled by what God is doing? No. We must not forget who we are. We are not gods. We are creatures, and no more than creatures. We are, as creatures, we have no right or reason to expect that at every point we shall be able to comprehend the wisdom of our Creator. He himself has reminded us, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:8-9. Furthermore, the king has made it clear to us that it is not his pleasure to disclose all the details of his policy to his human subjects. As Moses declared when he had finished expounding to Israel what God had revealed of his will for them, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us, that we may do all the words of the law, Deuteronomy 29:29. The principle illustrated here is that God has disclosed his mind and will so far as we need to know it for practical purposes, and we are to take what he has disclosed as complete and adequate rule for our faith and life. There will remain secret things that he has not made known, and that in this life at least he does not intend us to discover. And the reason behind God's providential dealings sometimes fall into this category. You won't have all the answers. If God only knew as much as I know, he wouldn't be worthy of my worship. The reason I can worship God is because when I'm scratching my head, he isn't. When I'm still trying to figure things out, he already knows what's going to happen. It's a natural response to acknowledge God if you are trusting in him. Trust God in everything, in all your ways. It says, know him. That's what it means to acknowledge him, to know him. The priority is in every situation is to know him. What does it mean in Greek, the word all? It simply means all. I know you're wondering that. You're like, what does it mean in Greek? It simply means all. God is not interested in being your 911 call or a bless me, Lord, but mind your own business kind of a God. So the question is this, where is God in the sickness, in this relationship, in this promotion, in this heartache, in this whatever? When we discover God is all you have, you will also discover God is all you need. Trust God through everything. The old King James says, direct your path. God is a guide, but the ESV reads, he will make straight or smooth your path. But a lot of us don't grow because as soon as difficulty comes our way, what do we think? This isn't for me. God must not be in this, so we don't move forward in life. The language here is actually saying, there will be difficult, hard, dangerous days ahead. You will find yourself in front of a sea. And faith says walk, and you will feel the water, but make it straight. It means he will either send a ship, you build a bridge, or God is going to teach you how to swim. We serve a God like in Romans 8, he says, you are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Meaning because of Christ, we can overcome any circumstance. Verses 2, 4, and the last part of 6, there's a huge benefit in trusting in God. I understand pain. I've gone through some things in life where they were completely out of my control, and I've been depressed like you wouldn't believe. I felt all alone. I wonder where is God in the midst of this struggle and this heartache. I've wrestled with the truth of Scripture and wonder, how is God making my way straight? The reality is the promise, and making your way straight is just that he is bringing you closer and closer to the goal. The goal of our earthly existence is to conform us in the image of Christ. The path keeps us moving closer and closer toward the goal. It doesn't mean life is going to be peachy and everything is going to be easy. The test of our spirituality isn't how much we know about God and the Bible. It's in how much we have grown in godliness. How have we conformed to the image of Christ? Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, recognizing that before the fall, before we started believing in ourselves, we had everything we needed. First Peter would say we have everything we need for life and godliness. There's a story of a man who has a bladder infection and needed an operation, but because of his fear of doctors and hospitals, he thought it best to operate on himself. That makes a lot of sense, you know? So there he goes, ripping into himself, trying to solve the problem, only create more of a problem for himself and ending up dying. When he was examined by the doctors, they said this was an easy surgery, but his fear and anxiety and worry began to control him. He couldn't handle the fact he would have been in and out. Do you believe God knows what he is doing? Do you believe God can pull it off? Can God make it happen? Do you believe that God has our best interests in mind, that we aren't mere pawns in his game, that God actually loves you, but we will actually finish the race with him, the one who is the author and perfecter of our faith, Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. So my friends, the burden is heavy, but trust God. The case is difficult, but trust God. The climb is steep, but trust God. The night is dark, but trust God. Situation overwhelming. The text says, trust God. I don't know your struggle, your hurt, your pain, your situation, but I do know the Bible is calling us to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. I do know that we have a God who's able to handle our situations. I pray that as you know, especially as we go on through this journey in the book of Acts, which it's a crazy book. You know, this first church, they did some crazy things and they believed God was doing some crazy things. And, you know, obviously we've seen the part where now Saul is no longer, you know, going in the church and just ravishing them and, you know, oh, let's put them in the Colosseum and watch them be torn by lions, all that kind of good stuff. But there's still this thing of like, man, are you going to trust in the Lord? This could cost you your life. And we live in America where things are really easy in a lot of different ways. But God is calling you here to trust in him. And what will that look like? How do you do that? He's saying, hey, put me first, acknowledge me, and trust me. I pray that's true because you have a God who's more than a people, a God who deeply loves you.